As the pandemic stretches into fall, the food industry braces for a tricky winter.
Ironically, toilet paper is back, and paper towels are the shortage these days.
We'll look at the moves taking place to prevent empty shelves. Plus, a bright spot in the stock market. This time, tech isn't taking the lead.
At least in terms of yesterday's trading, banks were really the beneficiary.
And why some bosses say it's time to zip it on the Zoom calls. It's Tuesday, September 29th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is what's news. The latest numbers show more than 1 million people around the world have died of COVID-19. The United States accounts for about a fifth of those deaths, on average more than 700 people a day. In Washington, a new pandemic relief proposal from Democrats would bring back the $600 in additional weekly jobless benefits. They released a $2.2 trillion package last night. A House vote could happen this week, but Republican opposition in the Senate and White House means the bill has little chance of becoming law. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett begins meetings with Republican senators today, including Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham. It's part of the GOP's fast-track plan to confirm her by Election Day. Several key Democratic senators have refused to meet her as a protest against a process they feel should wait until after the election. The Supreme Court could be a sparring point at the first debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, which takes place tonight in Cleveland. We'll have a preview on tonight's podcast, and you can stream it live on WSJ.com.
Was Goodrow, and the Tampa Bay Lightning have won the Stanley Cup!
That's the moment the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Dallas Stars 2-0 in Game 6 to clinch the championship last night. It marks the end of a season altered by the pandemic. The game took place in a nearly empty arena in Edmonton, one of the NHL's two bubble sites. We spoke a bit last night about Monday's stock market rally. Banks led the charge, which is interesting, in a year dominated by tech stocks. Our markets columnist Mike Bird looks at what's going on.
So bank stocks have had a pretty bleak year in general, while a lot of sectors have bounced back pretty quickly from their very low ebb in March. Banks haven't been one of them. One of the main reasons for that is that low interest rates, interest rate cuts are not good for bank margins. It makes it more difficult to make money from lending out, put very simply. Now, banks tend to do better in an environment where people are optimistic about the economy. It means that they'll be lending out more, they'll be making more money from that lending. And Monday was a reflection of the sort of action that you might see if people are expecting the economy to improve a little bit more than they previously thought. You saw banks up, you saw energy companies up. You'd likely see more of that in future if people thought things were going to get better more rapidly. People might expect bank stocks to recover a little bit more quickly.
Just ahead, preventing the food and supply shortages we saw in the spring from repeating in winter as a second wave of coronavirus looms. A closer look at what retailers are doing to keep shelves stocked after the break. Amid concerns of a resurgence of COVID-19 in the months ahead, along with the typical busy holiday shopping season, grocery stores are starting to stockpile. No one wants to deal with the shortages we felt when the pandemic first hit in March. For more on what's being done and how it might affect us, let's bring in the Journal's Annie Gasparo. She covers the food industry. Annie, it's always good to have you on the podcast. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So this notion of stockpiling, is this something that retailers have been thinking about for a while?
They all have different strategies, which are really interesting. One in particular talked about how they have been building these pandemic pallets, basically in their warehouses, items that sold quickly during the pandemic, like toilet paper. They're getting ready to go. They're getting that extra inventory so that they'll have these pandemic pallets ready when or if we see another big rush or tightening restrictions that cause people to go stock up.
Are there specific items that will be challenging to get as we face colder weather? Are there some items that are going to be in particularly high demand?
We expect the same items that were hard to find in the spring to also be still difficult to find as sales increase. Ironically, toilet paper is back and paper towels are the shortage these days. So we have paper towels, the cleaning wipes, all sorts of like canned and packaged goods. So like boxes of pasta, canned veggies, canned soup, that stuff is going to be more popular and therefore it might be harder to find. But this time around, manufacturers are also trying to make more and get inventory levels back to where they were pre-pandemic so that they don't face as dire of shortages as they did in the spring.
It's hard not to think back to March and the start of the pandemic when it was difficult to shop. Is there concern that we could see a repeat scenario?
Some people are worried about that, and others say that it won't be quite as bad because consumers already have more things in their pantry, right? We all stocked up and we've continued eating at home during the last 6 months. So we think it'll be less of a run on the grocery stores by consumers. But on the other hand, inventory levels generally are much lower since we went through all of our inventory in March and April, and retailers and manufacturers have not yet had a chance to catch up.
Annie, what about the health of the people who are working to bring us the products we want and need?
Some companies are concerned that as cases rise in the areas where they have factories, that could mean sick workers. And if a worker gets sick and then everyone that comes in contact with that worker has to quarantine, that can really affect your production capacity if you have, 20 people out on quarantine.
Annie Gasparo, always appreciate your reporting. Thanks for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, for those of us who transitioned from office to home, our efforts to maintain a work-life balance got a bit more difficult. A lot of people now find working from home feels more like living at work. Part of what can make it a drag is the explosion in video call meetings. Now some companies are scaling back. The Wall Street Journal's Sharon Turlip explains.
Meetings that previously might have just been a phone call or maybe not a meeting at all were turning into these big Zoom gatherings, and that things were moving so fast. A lot of these companies felt like they were in crisis mode. Nobody really took a pause to say, are all these meetings necessary? Some companies are saying, like, do not Zoom on whatever day, be it a Wednesday or a Friday. They'll keep sending reminders. It's more of we're giving you permission not to meet than anything that's enforced. And, people are still meeting to some extent.
But it's not always easy. Sharon says some people struggle to cut back.
I had a couple executives say that even after they set up these no meeting days, they'd have people try to arrange meetings with them on those days. For some people, it's kind of the fear of what they might miss if they don't get on it. So they kind of feel the need to, perform and be visible. There's some people who are lonely, who really are very social people and really like the FaceTime, especially if, they are home alone or just that personality type.
That's what's news for Tuesday. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.